tell you about the let me tell you about the chicken grease. Stuff some things to make the people get out the seat. Look, everybody is good. If you wanna clap your hands and come beat. Come on down to the bumper, you can feel the beat.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Hearst Ranch. Every week on Hot Grease, we will bring you satisfying tidbits of food culture. Our show hosts real conversations from everyday people navigating our food system and weekly chats with leaders in the world of sustainable food. Today, we'll be talking Michelle Obama's Farmers Market Permit and Love is Love Farm. On last Tuesday, DCS.com reported that Michelle Obama applied for a farmer's market permit. It was later confirmed that Fresh Farm is a local nonprofit that operates 8 farmers market in DC and Maryland area, actually submitted an application. Fresh Farm's DC farmers markets are located in DuPont Circle, Foggy Bottom, 8th Street, and Penn Quarter. Starting September 17th, Fresh Farm Market by the White House will open. Some of the comments from the local DC blogs and media outlets included concerns over traffic, street closures, and too many farmers markets in close vicinities. On the phone today, we have Katie Michelle. She is a DC resident and DC farmers market shopper.
Hi, Nicole.
Hey, Katie. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So first, what was your reaction last March to Michelle Obama starting the White House garden?
I thought it was very exciting. I think she was taking a step in the right direction and really helping fuel this national movement. It's something she cares deeply about, and I think a lot of people look to Michelle for inspiration, and I think it's a great way to sort of get national coverage on a topic that's of great interest to a lot of people.
Well, we actually have a very short clip of Michelle Obama telling the story of the White House garden.
Okay, great.
So people were uniformly excited about trying to make this happen.
Today is getting the soil ready, then we'll come back in a couple of weeks to actually do the planting, and then sometime in June, right around the time that school is over, hopefully we'll have lots of great vegetables and fruits. We'll harvest them, and then we'll bring you guys into the kitchen in the White House.
The kids from Bancroft who've helped us plant this garden have just been absolutely phenomenal.
So, Katie, most people agree that the White House garden has piqued the average American's interest in gardens and farmers markets.
Definitely.
Were you a farmers market shopper before the Obamas moved to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
I was, but not as much. I actually, after seeing the movie Food, Inc., that really piqued my interest a lot, and then also Michelle Obama really making it such a big issue. Really got me going on a regular basis. So now I go every Sunday.
Okay, which farmers?
I go to the DuPont Circle Farmers Market. It opens at 9 a.m., and I usually try to get there around opening time. I go every Sunday, so it's something that I look forward to get all my produce.
So is that market just open on Sunday, or?
Yeah, that's a Sunday one. Mm-hmm. It's only Sunday from 9 to 1, and then they have different hours in the winter.
Have you visited any other farmers markets, particularly the Fresh Farm markets?
I have. That one actually is a Fresh Farm too, DuPont. And then I've been to, they have one in Silver Spring, Maryland, right outside the city. I've been to that one. And then I've been to some smaller neighborhood ones. There's one in Adams Morgan and then in Mount Pleasant, which are like a 15-minute walk from where I live in the city. So they are much smaller. I don't think I have as big a selection, but I think it's great because there's so many now that in most neighborhoods, in Northwest DC at least, you can really have access to these farmers markets.
What are your thoughts about traffic and the street closures at the Fresh Farm Market by the White House, the one that's opening actually the 17th, so that's this week?
Thursday, yeah. Well, I personally, I don't have a car, so I commute by metro and by walking. So to me, I don't think it should be a huge issue. There are other streets that, I know it has been raised as a big issue, but I think we should be encouraging people to use public transportation, and I don't think closing a street off one day a week should be a big issue. There are lots of streets around it that are still going to be open, and so as long as they can sort of route traffic around it, I think it shouldn't really be a big issue, and we should be encouraging people to use other forms of transportation other than their cars.
Do you have any idea about potential shoppers at the White House Farmers Market? Is this a touristy area? Is it a residential area?
Well, I think because it is so close to the White House, it is going to attract a lot of tourists. I think a lot of people visiting the city that have heard of it will think that it's exciting to go. You're right near the White House. You can go to the White House tour and then walk over there very easily. But it is a very commercial area. A lot of law firms and government offices. There aren't a lot of residential units in the area. So I think my guess is that it'll be a lot of people that will stop by during their work day or then after work and stop by and get some produce and then take it home to cook. So I think it'll be very convenient for workers, but I don't know if since there aren't a lot of people living in that part of town, I don't think a lot of people will just go from their houses to this farmers market.
Some say, particularly on the earlier website that I referenced, DCS.com, mm-hmm. some comments on there saying that neighborhoods like Columbia Heights and Shaw and Trinidad, Denwood, Congress Heights need additional farmers markets. What do you say to that?
No, I agree. I definitely think those areas are underserved, especially, I would say, Trinidad and Shaw. Columbia Heights, you're close to the Mount Pleasant one, so I think they have pretty good access. But I think other areas like Shaw and Trinidad definitely are lacking in farmers markets. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a great need to have it there, for sure.
Katie, thank you so much.
Oh, thank
you for coming on Hot Grease and definitely sharing your thoughts and opinions about the farmers market by the White House.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying it's Michelle Obama's farmers market, but it's actually Fresh Farms Farmers Market. Thank you for coming on the show today and chatting with us on Hot Grease. And
well,
we look forward to having you as a guest next time.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Nicole.
Thanks. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. In addition, we have a live call-in number. If we have any listeners that would like to call in, feel free to call us at 718-497-2128. Our second guest today is Judith Winfrey. She's owner of Love is Love Farm and Slow Food Atlanta chapter leader.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Judith. Thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, last Monday, we were talking social etiquette and dairy, but you were doing something very special in Piedmont Park in Atlanta. Do tell.
Well, last Monday was a Slow Food USA National Day of Action all over the country, about 20,000 people all together in different neighborhoods, towns, cities, got together, had a potluck dinner, and stood publicly in support of getting more funding for school lunches. And we did exactly that in Atlanta at Piedmont Park. We had about 300 people.
Wow.
We had vegetable costumes. We had signs. We had amazing food and community. And I think it was really a successful demonstration that this is a growing food movement and that there are a lot of people out there who care about the quality of what we eat.
So that is wonderful. I'm glad to hear that you had so many folks in Atlanta participating. I know people were doing the eat-ins all over the United States. So speaking on public schools and healthy food, what our earlier segment, we talked about Michelle Obama and the new Fresh Farm Farmers Market that's going to be by the White House. What was your reaction to Michelle Obama starting the White House Garden earlier this year?
I am so delighted that our First Lady has chosen food and healthy food as her issue. You know, it seems like every First Lady chooses one thing that they're going to work on, and that Michelle Obama has selected food and that she's put this organic garden on the White House lawn, and now she's doing the farmers market in front of the White House, is such a signal to the rest of the country that food really matters. And I think, you know, we do have this growing food movement, but there are a lot of people in the country who just haven't really started to think about it, and that this garden is there and that the market is there. I really have seen a consciousness shift. I've seen it in my market, the people that come and shop with me, the people that are talking about food sources. Everywhere I go now, it seems like people are starting to care, and I attribute that in large part to what the First Lady's done. I'm really grateful.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Her work is wonderful. So before we get into Love is Love Farm, tell us about your work before. How did you move from being Judith into being a full-time farmer?
Well, I don't know how far back you want me to go, but I do think it's relevant that my granddad on my father's side was a sharecropper in Athens, Georgia, which is, you know, sort of about an hour and a half in a quasi-rural area. So I have agriculture in my family. I had uncles that were farmers, and I myself grew up in the city with a kitchen garden, but never really thinking about farming as an occupation. And then out of college, I fell in love with an amazing man, and he was doing this Food Not Bombs thing, and I just thought that was the coolest, dreamiest idea I'd ever heard, that you glean this food that grocery stores are going to throw away, and then you cook it and you just give it to people who are hungry. So we started our entree into food activism, really came through Food Not Bombs, and I like to give them credit whenever I can. And then from there, we started thinking about other ways that we could be more active in food, and Joe started farming. He apprenticed at a farm for 4 years in the Atlanta area, and I started working at an organization that did advocacy for sustainable agriculture in Georgia, an organization called Georgia Organics. So I worked there for about a year doing membership services coordination, and Joe was farming, and it was while I was at Georgia Organics that this opportunity presented itself. There was a very well-respected family farm, not far from the city at all, that was not being farmed actively. The farmers were still living there, and they were retiring, and they wanted some young people to come and farm their land. And Joe and I just felt like we had to do it. We had to do it because it was an opportunity that one doesn't get every day. And there was so much talk, and there still is so much talk right now about our dire need for young people in agriculture and for people to be willing to move back onto farms and try to farm for a living. And we felt like we needed to do it. We felt like we needed to prove that you could be a farmer without being a landowner. And so we've been doing that for the past almost 2 years now.
Wow, didn't realize it. We actually, speaking of young farmers, I think we have a radio program here on Heritage Radio Network, Greenhorn Radio. I'm not sure what days that they broadcast their show, but great show talking about young farmers. So farming is actually hard work, and a lot of people think, oh my gosh, you're young, you're into farming, but it's rewarding work. Will you share an interaction or story about how farming has built a sense of community, or you've heard about the sense of community in conversations at markets with folks?
Yeah. There's a lot I can say about that, so I'm trying to pick very carefully what I say. Well, one thing I want to say before I talk about the community is surely one of the most meaningful and exciting parts about farming. But there is also a lot of meaning that we derive just from being able to work with our hands and see the result of our work at the end of every day. That there's something that you don't get when you're working in an office, and I've had a lot of experience working in offices. There's this different sense of satisfaction when you can visibly see the result of your work. And there's also a very, very deep connection to life that you get as a farmer. It's unlike anything else I've ever known. We're just so much more in tune to the world around us, the natural world around us, to the phases of the moon and the weather. And you are because you have to be, but it's also a reward to be reminded that we are these beings living in this huge organism that's going on all around us. I think that's something that's really easy to forget. And I know that doesn't really talk about community. And I do want to say that
it does, actually, though. That, I mean, it's, okay. It's totally in line with community and feeling a connection to something, which is community. Well, Judith, we're going to actually go to we're going to have a short break, and we're going to come back and talk more about Love's Love Farm.
Okie doke.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Baby, I'm so carefree, with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. But
welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is sponsored by Hearst Ranch. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. So, Judith.
Y'all.
A little birdie told me that Outstanding in the Field and Kevin Gillespie of Woodfire Grill and our favorite Top Chef contestant will be chatting and chewing at Love is Love Farm. Tell us about the sold out event, and are you rooting for him on Top Chef Las Vegas?
Well, I feel a little cliche saying this, but it's really the truth. We don't have a TV, and we don't have time to watch TV. So I am rooting for all my friends that are and all of the people that they're rooting for. But I don't really know very much about the show, although I've heard a lot of people talking about it, and it's exciting to see the way the city is so excited about our Top Chefs. And Outstanding in the Field is a thrill. We were so honored and delighted to be asked to be a part of it. We've been hearing about it for a long time and know that the event has a huge following, and Kevin Gillespie is a phenomenal young chef, and he's from Georgia, just like me and Joe, and he has a lot of tattoos, just like Joe, and they both have big red beards, so we feel like there's a lot of affinity between us, and I don't really know what to expect. I mean, except a really good time. We've been working hard. Joe's been working really, really hard to get the farm cleaned up and looking beautiful, and we're going to have a lot of people out there on Saturday, and I'm sure that we're going to be eating some pork.
So tell me this, talking about food and being Joe getting the farm ready for Saturday, what are you taking to the market this week? What do you have? Are you going to market this week, and what are you taking?
Yeah, well, we're not going to go to market this week because we'll have Outstanding in the Field, but we have a CSA, and we just came from market, so I can tell you a little bit about what we've got in season. And
please.
This is one of my favorite times of year because we've got the end of the summer, so we've still got summer goodies like okra, and we've got the Sun Gold cherry tomatoes, and
ooh,
peppers are still here. And we're moving into some of the fall stuff. We've got fall squash, storage squash are here, and we're growing a lot of Arc of Taste varieties of winter squash this year. Arc of Taste is a slow food designation of endangered varieties.
Now tell me the name of that again. I'm sorry.
No, the Arc of Taste.
Okay, gotcha.
Like Noah's Ark.
Gotcha.
Is sort of the concept. And there are lots of different varieties of everything. I mean, it goes from filet, which is a spice used to thicken gumbo, to meats, to vegetables, to fruits. There's all kinds of things on the Ark of Taste, but this year we grew a lot of winter squash, and so we have this amazing array of colors and sizes and tastes and textures, and it's really fun. What else do we have? I can never remember. Oh, we still got some summer flowers. There's zinnias.
Wow.
Around, and it's really, to me, this is a very special time of year.
So I think I saw on your website, do you have fresh eggs? How many chickens on the farm?
We grew an Arc of Taste chicken. We got them when they were day old, and we have about 150 Delaware hens.
Wow.
They're beautiful birds. They're prized for their ability to forage, so they can make their own way in the world to some extent without us having to feed them, though we are feeding them a certified organic feed as well. And they're giving us about 80 eggs a day right now, which is awesome. And they're so good. Their eggs are great.
That is phenomenal.
So, yeah.
So you have all this great food on the farm. I'm sure every now and then you have to go into some of the big name grocers or some of the local organic, natural, sustainable food spots in Atlanta. What ingredients are kind of always on your shopping list that you can't get on the farm and you always pick up, like our mainstays?
There's olive oil, of course. We're really lucky. The market where we sell, the Peachtree Road Market, is a big market. It's got about 40 vendors, and there's actually a guy from Palestine who brings olive oil to the market. And
that's amazing.
I know. It's really great. So I'm able to get a lot of the things that we need at the market just through bartering. We have a coffee lady at the market. The things that we get now at the grocery store, and we usually always shop at Sevenanda, which is our local foods co-op, are things that are manufactured in a sense. So laundry detergent, soap, we're always making trips for, and ice cream. We always have ice cream in our freezer in the summertime. And that's, oh, nutritional yeast. We're, you know, hippie weirdos, and we cannot live without nutritional yeast. So we always have that, and we have to get that at the store. I don't even know where that comes from. I'm not even sure I know what it is, but it tastes good.
So are you cooking a lot? Do you have enough time to be able to put together fabulous meals? And if you do, what dish are you most wanting to learn how to cook right now?
Oh, wow. I don't even have time to think about learning. I mean, when you say learn to cook, that implies that it's hard to me. So I can't even fathom that. But I will tell you that we do cook a lot of just what we have. And like last night, for example, I had a bunch of okra and some tomatoes and some garlic. It was all from our farm, and I just put it all in a pan together. I cut up the tomatoes. I didn't even cut up the okra. And chopped some garlic, drizzled a little olive oil, and roasted it for about 20 minutes on high heat, like 450. And it was so good. We couldn't quit eating it. The okra got a little bit crispy and kind of had this snack quality to it. We just kept snacking on it. But I can't, I guess if I were living in a dream world, something I'd like to learn to make is pate or a terrine. I had a really good terrine the other night, and I thought, I'd like to know how to do this.
Wow, that is really amazing. So what... Tell us about where you're located in terms of, I know you mentioned you guys are always at Peachtree Farmers Market. Tell us about any upcoming events that you're having, or where can folks find Love is Love Farm?
Well, we sell at the Peachtree Road Farmers Market every Saturday, and that's not a year-round market, but it does go like April to December. So it's a pretty long market. We also have a CSA, and
can you tell folks what CSA? Some of our listeners may not know about CSAs.
Yeah. So a CSA is a community supported agriculture group, and they're all a little bit different. But ours works like this: there's about 100 families that come together at the beginning of the season, which for us is around March, February, March, and they make a commitment to our farm, and we make a commitment to them. So they pay us up front, and we bring them a share of the harvest every week through the season. And it works really well for us. We take our CSA into the city. We drop off at a church on Sunday mornings. So it's mostly people who attend that church that pick up. There are other people who just come and get their stuff and leave and don't go to the service. But it's a really nice way for us to have some guaranteed income, especially at a time of the year when we don't have a lot of income and we have a lot of expenses, because the beginning of the year is when we're buying our seeds and getting ready for everything we're going to do for the year. So these families really help us stay in farming, and that is beautiful community right there. And then in turn, we get to know them, and their kids come to our farm, and we're helping them with their school projects, and it's really just a beautiful relationship that is always unfolding, like all relationships are. But we enjoy it very much. So we have our CSA, which is called the Small Farms CSA, because we partner with a couple of other farms. And then we have a store. We have a little store called the Local Farm Stand, and it is open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 6. So it's pretty regular hours. I say it's like a farmer's market, but more convenient, because you can go whenever you want, and it's food from our farm and from other local farms. We always buy directly from farmers and bring it to the store.
Now, that's located right near what two restaurants? Star Provisions and...
Bacchanalia, and there's a lot of restaurants there. Quinones and Quatrano's other restaurants is there. JCT Kitchen, which is a great southern bistro, is right there.
Yeah, I think Heritage Foods actually has a great partnership with Star Provisions and Bacchanalia, what have you. So that is wonderful. Sure. So please just let our listeners know a website if they want to check out where you are and want to come visit you at the Farmers Market in Atlanta. Do you have a website to share with the listeners?
I do. We have a website. It is loveislovefarm.com. Though a way more dynamic way to communicate with me and the farm is through Facebook. The farm has a Facebook page, and I keep it updated with our harvest list every week. So I would recommend checking both out.
Judith, thank you so much for chatting with us today on Hot Grease. And hope you have a great fall harvest. And we would love to have you on the show again.
I would love to join you. And check out the Facebook page for pictures of Outstanding in the Field. I'll put some up there for you, okay?
Will do, Judith. Have a great day.
Bye, you too.
Thank you again for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Got time and a story to tell. Started when I was 9 years old. Woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Frontin' in the hood trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something.